It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And
Marshall Gallup.
How about that? We have a third party. You're all familiar. Anybody who's listened to the show for any time at all, you all know Marshall. Marshall is our local reverse mortgage specialist. And we were doing kind of a back-to-back real estate thing today. Christine Kennedy was on with Howard and Angela, so Marshall's coming in. We'll do the usual market wrap and trivia, and then we'll do – you can talk about anything you want to, but from our side, we're going to talk about the what's new and exciting. We'd like to have Marshall on at least once every year or two because the industry does change, and more than that, the audience here changes a lot over the course of a year. And this is an industry whose time has come, but it's never been sold well. And most people, when you say the word reverse mortgage, have this bad taste in their mouth that's left over from back in the old days when the industry actually deserved to leave a bad taste in their mouth.
It's not that different than when some people equate financial planners to stockbrokers, and mm-hmm. you get kind of the same reaction.
Same thing. But it has become a wonderful product in its own right, and two, a very, very, very important part of personal financial planning. So you can see how this all fits together, and we'll get more and more into that over the course of the show. So we're very happy to have him, and I know that we will surprise people with some of the things that go on today because everybody is so misinformed about these things. So we're going to try to bring you up to date. All right. For all you regulars, welcome back, and thanks for always being there. You know that's the reason we get up every morning and do this. If you're new to the show, found it by accident or got told or suggested or something like that, stick around for the hour. You'll always learn something from what goes on here, and I just say that without any reservation. I didn't say it'd make you rich and famous or anything, but you'll always learn something. You know, because of the format today, I'm going to let Adam jump right into the market recap, which for a change is going to be a lot of fun.
Yes. Yeah, it really is. It was finally a good week, much needed. I feel like the Fed may have tuned into my rants over the last weeks and months.
It could be.
Because it seemed like the mood in the market shifted this week. And what I mean by that is that it seems like investors have started to take notice that inflation and all the things that feed inflation have started going the other way. And the conventional wisdom in the market this week is that it was up because they think the Fed's going to pivot. Not today.
Not November 2nd.
We're still going to get a 75 basis point hike in November, but I think, and the market tends to think, that that might be the end of the big hikes.
I saw a crack in the armor just yesterday mm-hmm. in writing. So I'm not saying it's going to happen either. I would no more stick my neck out than Adam would. But there is something going on out there that's a little bit different than it's been for months.
Yeah, definitely. And in fact, if you look at the trend over the last 3 weeks, it's been a series of higher lows. So mm-hmm. that's usually a good sign.
Well, this is the third week in a row that the Dow has been up.
Now, we're still in a longer-term downtrend channel. So until we break through the top of that channel, I don't think that we're out of it, or we're definitely not out of it. But we could make an attempt at it in the coming weeks or months. So that's good news. It's been a while since July since we've seen anything even look like an attempt at a breakout. And I'm not promising it will happen, but at least we have a chance.
No,
and
as things always go in the market will be in recovery before we all know it.
Absolutely.
Or expect it.
Absolutely. The optimism over the Fed being close to done for the cycle gave us some really good numbers this week. The S&P was up 4.7, the Dow 4.9, and the NASDAQ up 5.2%. And for the quarter, the Dow is now up 8.2%, the S&P 4.7%, and the NASDAQ is lagging. That's all interest rate related. It's up just 2.7%. But everything's up in the quarter, which we haven't said, since last year. So that's great.
This that is correct.
Yeah, it hasn't made the year look a whole lot better. The NASDAQ's still off by over 30%. but it's still an improvement. And don't forget, in percentage terms, it takes twice as much gain to recapture the same percentage loss. So if your account drops 50%, you have to then gain 100% to make up for it. So it's just the way the math works out, but it always seems like a harder hill to climb when you're going up than it is when
it's even harder if you miss the first 20%.
Definitely. So if you're out of the market entirely, and a lot of people will do that, miss the first 20-30% until they can convince themselves that this time the bounce is for real, and they will miss out. That's the even harder than getting out of the market is convincing yourself to get back in.
We are holding more cash than usual for our clients' accounts.
But we're not out.
But we're nowhere near out, and we're not quite ready to say this is it, we're getting back in.
Right.
That's why we got to see this breakout. Then we'll start feeding money back into the market. And not until then, I would say.
That's correct.
Except by special request, of course. You got to remember, when you deal with people like us, if you give us an order, we got to take it.
So despite all the good news this week, there isn't a lot of good news to be found out there right now, especially when you look at real estate. I hate to say it, but it's pretty clear that the real estate market is slowing, and that's what the Fed is trying to do. They're trying to slow it down. It's been completely out of control, overheated, whatever you want to call it, but they are trying to slow it down, and it's working. New home sales have now dropped for 8 months in a row. Housing starts were down 8.1% month over month. Mortgage rates have surged to over 7% recently, makes house payments about 50% more expensive than they were last year. Last year, the typical mortgage payment was $1,220 per month. Now it's $1,850 per month. That's an increase of 51.6%. Ouch.
Yep.
Additionally, real estate deals are getting called off as people back out of contracts. According to Redfin, 17% of homes that went under contract last month were called off, which totaled more than 60,000 contracts. It's the highest number of any month except for March of 2020 when COVID hit. Another area that's looking a bit bleak is companies have started to announce layoffs. I just did a quick search. I found Tesla, Netflix, Coinbase, Microsoft, Robinhood, Salesforce, and Zappos just with a...
Plus, if you're working at Twitter, you might want to start chopping around.
Yeah, that one I didn't include because that wasn't directly economy related. That's for other reasons. But yeah, 75% of the workforce may not be employed there in a year.
Well, how do you get people to work hard?
Threaten their jobs?
Yeah. And so Musk, being the psychologist that he is, he might have no plans to lay off 75%. Maybe it's only 25%.
Never know.
But once it's leaked out, then everybody's got to think, do I want to keep working here or not? And if so, I better get my butt into the office and work harder.
So on top of the layoffs, companies have been slashing their forecast for this quarter and for next year at a pretty good clip recently. There's just a lot of indicators saying that we're headed towards a recession. So with all that bad news, why did the market rally? It's just one of those classic bad news is good news scenarios that we see from time to time. The more bad news we get right now, the more likely the Fed stops hiking and eventually goes into a rate cutting cycle. I know it sounds crazy, but that's exactly what the market is banking on right now.
We saw that in the last jobs report where it wasn't that great. Seriously, it was a very mediocre report, but it was stronger than expected. Because of that, they figure, here goes the Fed again. And I'm sure they're right at that. But we'll see. There's another one coming up before long because the month is about to change. So many, many things will change. But right now, just sit back and smile and say, gee, we finally had fun in a week. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with Marshall and talk about reverses. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I'm Marshall Gallup.
And Marshall is here because we are going to devote some time today to the reverse mortgage, which is, as I said earlier, if you tuned in right at the top of the hour, it is a very misunderstood product, and we're trying to clear up some of the misunderstandings of it. And it's also, from our standpoint, an extremely valuable tool for personal financial planning. So we'll dig into that as soon as I say, yes, we do have a trivia question today, as usual, sponsored by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can call Ken at 904-636-7888. Adam just described, what was your number, about 17% or so, the real estate deals that fall apart rather than closing in a month?
Well, that's what happened last month.
Last month. Okay, yeah. So I've got a number that goes back to regular times. And just for comparison, so you see how out of whack this is, back in May of 2016, how many of those real estate deals fell through that month instead of closing? And it's just a percentage lower than 17. And we'll give you that. All right, a little quick background. Everybody has probably seen Tom Selleck and others and talking about the reverse mortgage, and most people just shy away from it and they have a little shiver up and down their spine because they all know somebody who got a bad one or did bad things. Because in the old days, the requirements weren't good, the selling job was not good, and the people that were taking them out were not well informed about what was going to happen. A lot of them just took a big chunk of cash and blew it all. And then they had the same lifestyle they had before, except they had a big old mortgage sitting on their house. Mm-hmm. So not good. But it's much different today from planning side. And we haven't had Marshall on for a while. So my first question to him is, what's new in the heck'em business, as they say?
Relatively speaking, late last year, we had a fixed rate of about 3%.
So as I speak to you today, the regular, right?
As I speak to you today, the lowest fixed rate I have on my rate sheet is 6.5.
Oh. So what does that mean for someone who's looking at a reverse?
And that's the big point. Someone who is looking to get a reverse is wanting to get how much money would I be able to get? And I compare it to someone buying a house back at the 3.06, which was our rate at that time. They were coming up with, unless they were much older, they were coming up with around 45% cash. So $100,000 house, $45,000 was their cash investment.
That would be what was available to them? Or what does that mean, $45,000 cash?
It was 55% was available to them.
Oh, so that's what.
Okay, 45% was the cash they'd have to get.
You're talking about a purchase scenario.
Right.
Okay.
Now, in fact, I just did one yesterday. It was 62% was the cash the 70-year-old lady had to come up with.
That's a big difference.
Yeah.
Okay.
My rule of thumb that I've always used in our planning business was about half.
Mm-hmm. And that's where we were.
Yeah. Well, if you
that's where we were.
If you average those two, you're not far off a half.
Now, even though you don't write a check every month, that interest is still there. And guess who's not paying it? Marshall, you are, even though you don't have to lay money out of your pocket. But it's important to understand how these things work, whether or not it's a traditional mortgage.
And let me take it to a little bit wider timeline. 2006 was when I went from the traditional business to exclusively reverse. At that time, we were around 506.
Okay.
We had wandered above that a little bit, but maybe been more below that since then. So now we're up to higher rates than we've had since 2006, all in a 6-month window of time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I would say is the shock that's been to a lot. However, it still goes back. I did a little something for a speech for the Planners Association. I looked at my last 2 years of clients. 82% wanted to improve their liquidity for whatever reason as part of their plan. 18% wanted to buy a house. That 18% that bought a house was not because someone in the real estate business knew that this was a product that was available and suggested it. It was because either their financial planner knew about it, or they had previously had a reverse.
Okay, fair enough.
Lady called me out of the blue yesterday, and she just said, I've had two reverse mortgages, my last two houses. I'm moving to Florida from Washington State. I need to know what I can do. Here's how much money I'm going to come up with. How much house am I going to be able to get? And let me put that into a very quick perspective of my favorite client of all time in the mortgage business. A modestly mature couple, just a few years older than me, lived in a house for over 30 years. They had a modest retirement program managed by a planner. They wanted to move across town to Fleming Island to be near their grandchildren. So the goal was, how can we get enough money out of this house we're selling that we'd be able to buy the house that we want and not have a principal and interest payment? They were able to do that, and they had enough money out of the sale to also pay for having the moving company come move them.
Good.
She called me afterwards, and she said, just want to let you know, Marshall, grandkids are here on their bicycles, because it was only a mile away on a quiet road for the grandkids to ride to. And I told her, I said, Nancy, and I know one other important thing you may not have thought of. Your daughter only lives a mile away from y'all, even when the grandkids move away.
Yeah.
So that to me is the classic example of a couple that they know having all that money they'd worked for in retirement, being managed properly, they were planning things, they were only taking their required minimum distribution. They didn't want to upset that apple cart and affect their income, but they were able to get into the house they wanted. So that's the well-planned, good example of people having a plan.
There's fundamentally two types of people that I've ever dealt with that are trying to accomplish something in their planning. One of them is, I already own the home. I don't have the mortgage paid off, but I don't want to pay the mortgage anymore because I'm about to retire or whatever. And the other one is, I want to downsize or upsize or resize or move or whatever. I want to get my last house. And I really don't want to take the entire lump of money that it would take to buy it outright because I don't want to pay principal and interest. So how can I get the house I really want with the amount of money that I want to spend when it can be dramatically different? And the answer to that, obviously, is to get a reverse mortgage to purchase, which was not originally available when the program started. No. They invented this, and I think it is just so timely because of a lot of what's been going on. You know, 10,000 of us, the baby boomers, are turning 65 every day. You have to be 62 to get one, but there's no age limit after that. In fact, correct me if I'm wrong, but it started out you both had to be 62, but I think that's down to only one of you now, isn't it?
Correct. Correct.
Okay. So if you're thinking of retirement, or if you're thinking, I want to save some more money right now or invest some more money right now, and I'm tired of paying the principal and interest, then you can talk to a reverse guy like Marshall. We'll bring him in for the planning process. And that's the people who want that liquidity of not having to lay out a grand or two a month on the principal and interest, but they want to stay where they are. Or I just want to not pay anymore, and I want to live right there. And that's where you come in, I presume.
You got time this segment for another short one?
Yeah, sure.
A couple that both had very professional jobs. One was in education. One was in the computer business, working for very large organizations. So they had very stable salaries. They were really enjoying that. They're getting ready to retire from a pretty expensive house to a less expensive house in an over 55 community. They both were going to do consulting. They were pretty sure they would be able to make some money doing consulting, but they were setting their budget up so they could live on that base retirement that they were getting. By doing the reverse, they could do that with that more modest budget, enjoy life, do what they wanted to do. And, oh, by the way, both of their consulting practices took off because there was no pressure on them. They ended up paying off their reverse mortgage with extra cash flow that they got. And then they ended up buying a much nicer house because they were just making so much money during consulting. And okay. I look at it as there's so many of our contemporaries, since Steve and I are in the more mature age group, that didn't think of, well, you know, I kind of enjoy what I do. I can kind of continue doing that. And, oh, by the way, if I don't retire at age 62, this whole plan is going to work a lot better. So that's another really good one.
And a lot of people's version of retirement isn't what it used to be in the old days. Back then, you worked for one company for decades, and then you retired, got a pension, and lived happily ever after. Well, that's way too simplified for today's world. But a lot of people today, whether they're 62 or 65 or 70 or whatever, they don't really want to sever their ties to the workforce, to the economy, to the people that they know. They want to do something, not necessarily sure what it is, but they know darn well they can't do it while they're working full time at the grindstone. So you can get the ultimate in flexibility if you set up your cash flow appropriately, I guess is the word. And there are many ways to do it, of course, but the reverse is one of them, and we like to keep it in the planning. All right, we got to pay some bills, a couple of commercials here. We'll be right back with Marshall. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I'm Marshall Gallup.
And before we delve back into this, I'll remind you that the trivia question is still open, and it is, in May of 2016, how many real estate deals fell apart that month, in month of May, on a percentage basis? It's way below the recent 17%. It goes back to when times were a little more predictable, perhaps. Now, Adam has a public service announcement, and then we'll jump back into reverse mortgages.
Yeah, I just wanted to remind everyone that we're putting on actually my wife and our friend are putting on a 5K race and a 1 mile walk out in Nocatee. It goes to benefit pediatric cancer. Actually, all the proceeds go to the lab at St. Jude's Research Hospital called the Mulligan Lab. They research the type of leukemia that took our friend's son from him a few years ago. And it's a really good cause. And they're the only lab in the country that is dedicated to researching this type of leukemia. It has an extremely high fatality rate. It is not as common as the other forms, but if you get it, it's not good for you. So it doesn't look good for you. So I really hope that y'all can make it out. It's Saturday, November 5th. It starts at 8:30. It's right there in the middle of Nocatee at the Nocatee Station Fields. And you can register at joestrong.org and just click on the events page and you'll see it there. It's their next event. And hope y'all can make it out.
Yes, and as I tend to remind people, if you go to joestrong.org, but you do not have an interest in running or walking or whatever, they would be happy to get your donation.
Absolutely. Or if you have a business and you want to sponsor,
sure.
That's another option. You can get they'll do some posting for you on their social media sites, and it'll be on the T-shirt, and you get to advertise through that. So there are lots of ways to support it, but we really hope anything's appreciated.
And it is a qualified charity, meaning tax deductible.
That's correct.
To you. And I'll, just as an aside on that tax deductible thing, you remember last year when I was cautioning everyone, if you're charitably minded, take the first $600 out of your taxable account and write checks against it or whatever, because that came off of your gross income. It wound up to be a two-year thing that they did, making it an above-the-line deduction, which is much more valuable than any other kind. And that has, unfortunately...
It's gone.
Gone by the wayside.
Yeah, it's a bummer. So
we don't know what things are going to be saved by the end of this year, but you can pretty much count that one out.
But this is a 501(c), so you can actually do a QCD from your... in lieu of an RMD, you
exactly
can send
right.
the money directly from your IRA to the
charity. If you're 70 and a half or older... And you want to do a direct gift that will not interfere with your taxation, the qualified charitable distribution route is really a great way to go. And if you have any questions about that, you can always call the show here. You can call us at Van Wee Financial or go to the website or anything like that. We're always happy to answer your questions. So back to the reverse mortgage. One of the things that there's so many things that I think people misunderstand, but one of them, well, it's just a way for the bank to take your house, isn't it? And I have an ultimate story on this one, by the way.
I can't tell you how many times I've heard that as an objection from intelligent people, from other planners. It's amazing how much that is the pushback.
I thought you were going to say other intelligent people from other planets, but it didn't come out that way.
I have not heard it from people from other planets.
Okay, just checking.
But definitely from other planners. And Marshall, what do you say when you hear that? I know you've heard it too.
I tell them it's a mortgage, just like the mortgage they got from their bank or mortgage company when they bought their first home. We have a lien on their property.
Mm-hmm.
As long as they pay their taxes and insurance, and take care of the house, it's theirs. And when they finally, the last one of them to turn out the lights, leaves, the loan starts coming due. And so their heirs will spend up to a year to sell the house and take whatever net proceeds are available. However, if they lived in the house for a long time and there's no net proceeds that there would be from a sale, FHA picks up the check, not the estate. So actually, the worst case scenario is taken off the table by FHA.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that is the only time that the quote-unquote bank would own the house.
And in fact, it's kind of an intellectually weak argument because the bank has no interest in owning that house.
No.
It would be so expensive. Right now, if they just issue the reverse, they're gaining interest on paper every month that you own the house. If they have to go through the repo process, they're incurring expenses. Then they have to figure out what to do with the house afterwards, and they have to pay real estate commissions. It makes no sense for them to go after the house.
And if that amount is big enough, they're still accruing costs against it. So they're losing. They're literally losing every
money.
Month
yeah,
on this
no
thing. But you cannot sock this to your kids in excess of the home that they have that would be sold. There is absolutely no transitional problem from generation to generation. I think that's largely misunderstood.
I think if people are prudent in their plan of why they want a reverse and then in their use of the reverse, appreciation in their residential real estate is going to cover things. And I've got more statistics than Carter's got pills that helps to share, here's that possibility. In fact, I have several people who in the last couple years have sold a house that appreciated way beyond what they expected it to. So they had lots of equity left in that house that they had a reverse mortgage on for a long time. And they went and bought the house they wanted. A quick aside, two of whom in the last year that have purchased sold their houses in Fort Myers at the beginning of this year.
No. You know, sometimes you just wake up lucky.
And it just, although I do have another gentleman who had a manufactured home, he was of pretty good means, but he had a manufactured home that he retired to in Fort Myers. Mm. It's a total loss. Mm. He's just waiting for what is the check that the insurance company is going to give me on quote unquote actual cash value, which is where those are insured. And then he's moving up here to North Florida where his family is and buying a house.
You cannot get a reverse on a manufactured home or a trailer, right?
You can. Those built after 1978 that pass FHA engineering, structural engineering review. And I've done several. I don't know if you remember, but the original Villages in Central Florida was a gentleman who had a manufactured home facility that he built manufactured homes. He went out and bought all this land, subdivided it, and he would roll the double wide out of his factory down the street to where you wanted your house put, and he put it in there. Well, and the two people I've done—
Limited transportation costs.
Their house was in 1980s that they bought. Actually, were in pretty good shape. It's just that today, insurance on a manufactured home is getting very expensive in Florida, and I'm sure it's going to be a whole lot more expensive soon.
Yeah, that's kind of scary. Think of anyway. The concept to me has always been that a manufactured home wouldn't work. So I've learned something today, which I always hope to do. Right, and another thing that a lot of people, I don't know if they misunderstand it so much as they just don't know it. But when you receive money out of your reverse mortgage, which can happen a couple of different ways. It can actually pay you monthly, but Marshall says that's very rare these days. What they do is they set it up on a line of credit. They get everything set, and then you get a line of credit that builds up over time. If you withdraw money like that, it's not taxable income. Marshall was telling us a great story about replacing income, and we're getting close enough to this break that I think I'll wait until after but it's a great illustration of financial planning for income involving the tax-free nature of the reverse mortgage funds that come up. And what it can do for the lady in the example, it can do for you if you're in that situation. The biggest thing is you got to get a financial planner who understands what's possible out there. And we have been working with Marshall and others for a long, long time to understand the right way to approach these things. But in this inflationary time and with income being so badly needed, as you said, it's going to be expensive for things like insurance. There are ways to manipulate your cash flow and hopefully stay where you are, which is usually a number one priority for people. All right, one more break. We'll be right back. This is the Vanwee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Vanwee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Vanwee.
And I'm Adam Vanwee.
And I'm Marshall Gallup.
And we remind everybody, trivia question is still open. What percentage of real estate deals fell apart before they could close in the month of May 2016 when times were normal, or at least more normal than they are now? All right, we've been talking with Marshall about the reverse mortgages and some of the ways to use it and some of the misconceptions. He told us in one of the breaks a classic example of income and tax planning using the reverse, working out as slick as anything I've ever heard. And then I've got one when you're done with that. So carry on. Tell us.
So you're talking about the Our Lady over RMD.
Overdrawing the RMD.
Okay. So this lady who, very professional job, put a lot of money away for retirement, had her home paid for, but she was drawing $1,200 a month over RMD out of her retirement funds.
And you'd really rather not do that, people.
You gotta pay a lot of extra taxes.
Yep.
And I don't know. It just
plus it's not invested tax deferred anymore.
There's this uncomfortable feeling I have about paying more taxes than is my responsible share. So her planner suggested, why don't you take $1,000 a month out of a reverse mortgage and quit drawing that off the portfolio? Well, she improved the portfolio, of course. She lowered her tax bill. So she was doing that for almost 6 years. And she gives me a call one day and says, I don't think I need this much anymore. Can I kind of flip it around and still have a little more in my line of credit? And I started looking at it and I thought, how brilliant it was for her to quit taking that draw off the RMD when she did. Because that's left that much more for her.
That's investing $1,200 a month for 6 years at market return without taxes interfering. That is a nice little addition to your nest egg, to say the least.
Well, again, the example I went back to of what people were looking for liquidity, and that sure made a difference for her.
And that extra money that you're not paying tax on, this goes back to the tax-free nature of money coming out of the reverse mortgage, and that extra money coming off of your tax bill can even take you down a tax bracket if you're marginal or just over, and you just never know. And it's an easy thing to put on paper because you can model the tax planning of using that. I've got another pretty classic one. This probably goes back about a dozen years in the day job, and it's very nice, older gentleman, probably 80, roughly, white-haired, tall, handsome, and smart. Just one of those great people that you would love to say that's my grandfather or something like that. For me, it would have to be father, but I digress. Anyway, he comes in, and I always ask people what brings him there and what's the nature of your business today. And he said, well, I built a house with my wife when we got married about 50, 60 years ago, something like that, on 4 acres on the river at brick house, really a nice thing. And it's all paid for. But the problem is I have to mow my own lawn. I'm my own plumber, carpenter, and painter because I lack cash flow. Well, ding, 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 financial planner says, well, it's worth somewhere around $4 million. And, well, so you're real estate rich and cash poor equals look at a reverse mortgage. He said, well, here's the problem. I've got a daughter in the banking business, and when I brought it up to her, she said, oh, Dad, it's just a way for that bank to take your money, going right back to the original. And I said, I want you to do me a favor, because I'm going to tell you what's really going on here. I want you to tell her that that's impossible and take my card with my phone number on it. And if she has any questions about that, I want her to call me and I'll tell her what's going on here. And the real truth, in my opinion, of course, I can't prove this, but I've been around quite a long time. She wants your house without any burden on it when you die. That's my opinion.
I mean, I'd like a house on the river without any mortgage.
I'd take it too. With a mortgage. Yeah. Well. 4 acres on the river and a brick house. So, you know, went away. I never heard from her. So I figured he'd talk sense to her. And five months later, I see this guy's name on my schedule again. So, okay, cool. And he got in and a big smile on his face. And I said, well, what's going on? He said, I've got a reverse mortgage. I don't have any payments. I have a lawn service. I have a plumber. I have a carpenter and a painter and an electrician. Life is just grand, thank you. I just came in to say thank you. That's all it was.
And that home is going to be worth so much more when it finally becomes hers.
In the condition that he will have had it in by then. And you know, I don't know if he's going to live to 100 or not. You can't tell with anybody nowadays. It looked like he was good for a long time. But it was so interesting to me that he was able to convey to his own daughter the truth about the reverse mortgage and the use for it.
Backing up one example, if you for 6 years took $1,000 a month out of your...
Oh, I wondered what you were doing over there. I saw him busily doing the calculator thing.
If you took $1,000 a month, it would actually be $1,200 to get you $1,000 a month because you paid 20% in taxes, let's call it. So you would get $72,000 over that 6 years if you're taking it out of your... And you would pay $200 a month in taxes.
Okay.
If you leave that invested, we'll say it's the same as a contribution. It's not, but just for the sake of this argument, if you put $1,200 a month for 6 years into an IRA at a 6% rate of return, that's worth $105,409 after 6 years.
And that is only the difference of taking your money out of a different income stream.
Right.
And that, to me, just tells a story that I don't know how else to tell, because how many of us can tap a stream of money that is not taxable? It's very difficult.
And isn't that the planner's role?
That's exactly what the planner's role
because
is.
Because you don't have much impact on the resources that your client brings in. You can have an impact on how they best use those resources to enjoy life longer.
One of the few alternatives, and it's not a good one, that if you wanted to cut down your tax bill and you had both a traditional and a Roth IRA, you could start draining some cash from the Roth. But Adam will tell you the same thing I'm about to tell you. If you can, you leave your Roth alone.
Always. The last source of money that I want to draw from is the Roth. Now, there are reasons to draw from it at certain times.
There are, and some of them are very good reasons, like buying a house, things like that, especially if you're younger. But we're talking about as a scenario here where one of the people, at least one of them, has to be 62. So that buying your first house thing, that's probably passe.
Yeah. But leaving that Roth for as long as possible and even letting it be the money that your kids inherit, if you have to give them something, give them a Roth because they'll love you for it. But it's just the last money you should tap if possible.
Mm-hmm. And another little financial planning thing here too, the new rules. Oh, okay, we're going to have a caller. The new rules are with the 10-year rule when you inherit an IRA, you've got to drain that thing within 10 years. It's taxable. And if the people had already started taking RMDs, you have to take them every year. Well, a Roth never has a required beginning date. So you can pass it on. They got 10 years tax-free growth. Good morning, George.
Good morning. You may have already answered this, but I had just recently tuned in. I had heard there's a way to buy a house using a reverse mortgage.
Take it away, Marshall.
In today's numbers, you're going to probably have to come up with about 60% of the price of the house in cash. That's your part of it, the rest of which would be financed by reverse mortgage. There would be no more proceeds from the reverse mortgage, like a refinance would be, but that would allow you to buy more house or afford more house and not have a principal and interest payment.
Hey, George, if you have more questions about this, call me in the office on Monday. That's 685-1505. I'd be happy to talk to you some more about it. We're about at our break, so.
Okay, thanks.
Yes, sorry about that. We appreciate the call. Thank you. Back in May of 2016, 3.9% of real estate deals fell apart before they actually could go to closing. And last month you said
17%.
So it's not normal to be over 5%, and that's because of the interest rates. See you next week. Thanks for listening. This is the Vanley Financial Hour. And thanks, Marshall.